path of the warrior winds down many roads. Some use their fists, and others their wits. However, Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of Twig use a power unlike any other I've encountered. I want them to teach me this new power in my quest at thisweekingeek.net.
Hadouken!
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. It's Jamie J.J. Johnston here, and I am joined by Mike the Birdman Dodd. How you been, Mike?
Fucking hate my life. Oh my god, do I hate my life.
On that note, what games have we been playing lately?
TMNT Out of the Shadows. By the time this episode airs, I should have the review out on Blistered Thumbs. I'm starting it with, have you ever felt like a game broke your heart? You ever felt like a game skipped out on dinner and left you with the check? That's how I feel with this game. But you'll have to find out exactly what mental torture it put me through later on this week, or already have. Either way, I can guarantee you I'm not firing that game up again anytime soon, unless... See, if we ever figure out how to get drunken commentary working correctly, that would be a game we should do, because I'd be like, every time the game fucks up, take a shot. First 20 minutes I'm gone. Guaranteed. On the floor, wasted, dead.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Okay, well, see, we've had two completely different experiences from it. Yeah, I've been frustrated with it at certain points, but I kind of drudged through, and I ended up kind of enjoying it by the end of it, whereas every other reviewer I've seen, including you, has obliterated this game's scores.
Like being forcibly penetrated with a cheese grater.
See, like, it's almost like it raped their childhood so hard that they basically just auto did not say anything good about it.
See, no, for me, it's a game mechanics thing. The camera virtually flies up your turtle's ass. You can't see what the hell's going on.
See, I won't rebuttal any of the negative things. Well, okay, most of the negative things that people are throwing at it. But I'm still just saying, like, no one has said any of the positive stuff. Like, I like the art style. Most people hate it. I think it's cool because they tried something new. And the only thing, which a lot of people have actually said this, if they didn't put in the nostrils, it'd be cool.
You know what I'll say about this game? The one positive thing I'll say, the best part about this game is the load screen.
The T-U-R-T-L-E...
No. That I've got a completely different problem with. But no, we're just Leo sitting there, resting on his quad.
I actually know why that problem exists, by the way.
Licensing?
Which one?
The turtle power thing?
Oh, no. See, you, like, at one point you said, why didn't they play, like, the whole thing? And your issue was the slight blip that they had in it, right?
Yeah.
That was an audio glitch where... That's actually a programmer's fault. Because if you beat the game and go to the credits, it plays the whole song.
Holy shit.
So what that happened there is they had a programmer basically cut it off at a certain point and loop it because they... To save memory, they would only put one video,
so they
one
couldn't,
file in there.
So they couldn't get the audio guy to just create a loop? Here, before you go home for work for the weekend, can you please create a loop?
Okay. The thing is generally that, like, to save the memory, they only have the one audio file in there. So it would have been a programmer's job to actually try to do the loop and tell it where to cut off and restart. And
That guy's not
an audio guy, though.
Yeah, he needs to be fired.
He fucked up. He needs to be fired.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool because that song is in it. The whole thing, if you listen to the credits. But
we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Anyway, what else have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Saints Row 4 recently. Actually, I've been playing a lot of Splinter Cell Blacklist. I'm actually enjoying the multiplayer on that. But God, do I hate Force... Hey, you like co-op shit. You figure shit out quick.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I can play co-op on this tonight. Because I only need to beat two missions.
Okay.
Because I really want to find these blacklist things. But yeah, had a tremendously fun time with that one. And I'm hoping Grand Theft Auto shows up this week.
Yeah, because it's going to be coming out the 17th. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got about a week.
I've been playing... Well, I played, you know, Out of the Shadows. And because I've been, you know, still dealing with not having internet, I actually had to come home, or to my brother's place, download Out of the Shadows, then take it back home to play it. And this weekend, I actually was playing Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I've heard very positive things about that.
Okay, the game, if you haven't seen it in the media yet, basically the game was so popular that it took Square Enix by storm. Their servers were maxed out. They had to actually, they stopped digital downloads for it, and they stopped allowing character creation because they couldn't, and they, for a couple days so that they could go buy new servers. So now it's all set up and it's smoothed out a lot. So good. That's why I started playing, just to, tinker around with it. And it's really good. On that note, our next episode or upcoming episode is going to be all about MMOs.
Yeah.
But our current episode kind of goes with the Saints Row 4 and GTA 5 thing.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about sandbox crime games. So,
and why the hell are they so popular? That's what I don't get.
Well, reasons that I can think of from a sales associate side.
I mean, but I remember playing Grand Theft Auto 2 on my Pentium 3, I think that's what I had. I think I had a Pentium 3 with like 2 gigs of RAM or maybe 6, I'm not sure.
Fairly sure my first experience was Grand Theft Auto 1 on a Pentium 2.
Yeah, no way. It was a P3... with, I think it was, yeah, it was a gig and a half of RAM, and it was an old compact Presario. So I pushed this fucker to its limit, playing MechWarrior 3, Pirates Moon, and some other games I shouldn't have been able to run.
So good.
It was fun.
I guess we should kind of start out with, what is a sandbox crime game? Like, obviously, we've said Grand Theft Auto, but for those that don't know, sandbox basically means open world. You are able to explore and do
pretty much
many things. Yeah, like when Grand Theft Auto 1 came out, you could do a lot of stuff, but nowadays, like Grand Theft Auto 5, when it comes out here, it sounds like you're pretty much going to be able to do anything that you would ever want. So.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when they used to have, when Grand Theft Auto was a super huge deal, and it was in the media friggin' everywhere. I didn't get a chance to play it until like 2 years after it came out. I didn't have a PS2. Until about 2003 is when I got mine. Although, the one I played the most and still love the most of this very day is Vice City. If any game deserves an HD update, it's that one.
Vice City is definitely on a high list with most people that like Grand Theft Auto.
Also, best soundtrack of the series, hands down. I'm trying to think of other... Now, there were other games that tried this. I remember the true crime games...
Yeah,
and they were a big deal.
Mafia,
I think,
followed that.
The Godfather, Scarface. I'm looking on my shelf right now, seeing what I can find. I remember when they did the Grand Theft Auto exclusively for the PSP, and then they ported it over to the DS.
Sadly, I almost think, it was Grand Theft Auto 3 when the big boom about this stuff
happened. This is pretty much when it hit.
Because Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2...
we're top down.
Yeah, they're top down. I love that style of, running over a guy and just kind of smears his blood across the screen. But around that time, when it got so popular, I almost want to say that there was a Sims that had a burglary, attachment to it. Just because of this kind of... Well, I would assume it's because this stuff was so popular. Which, that's kind of where we get the crime part of it, is... You can almost think of these like Sims, but more... rated R.
Yeah, kind of.
You can actually kill people, you can steal their cars, all that, whereas Sims, it's very friendly.
I think stuff like Grand Theft Auto 3 specifically really opened up a whole new type of gaming, because it wasn't long after that, I think after Vice City, Spider-Man 2 came out, and it was open world, but it was open world being a hero.
Yeah.
Like people describe it, it's Grand Theft Auto, but with Spider-Man. Because you could do pretty much whatever the hell you wanted and explore wherever the hell you want. In fact, it's still one of the best open-world sandbox games out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, Grand Theft Auto basically opened the doors of saying, hey, we can make games that are friggin' massive where you have a big world that you can actually explore and do things.
It put the choice of what you want to do to the player totally. You weren't necessarily confined to here. Do mission A to get to mission B to get to mission C. Now, in Grand Theft Auto, yeah, you do have to follow the story missions to unlock...
if you want.
Well, you have
or you can just run around shooting cops.
Yeah, you can do that if you want. You can still earn money doing, the cop missions or the ambulance missions or whatever, but it unlocks different parts of the island, so you can do more, get access to more vehicles, like the plane... The helicopter, the tank, etc. Or you could cheat your way and do that. But if you wanted to finish the game, obviously you had to do storyline. But if you didn't want to, you could literally just explore, shoot things, drive around. I like the fact that you were not confined to doing what the game told you. It gave you true, in my opinion, freedom.
Yeah, and it's kind of the start of that genre, which has escalated now. I haven't played much of the Saints Row series. I know it's you really like it, right?
The only ones I've really played are Saints Row 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I hear 1 and 2 are more or less GTA ripoffs.
Yeah.
But 2, there's a lot of customization that was left out of 3 and 4, so I hear.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy them. I think 3 was a lot of fun because it was so ridiculous. And 4 cranks that up to retard level. But in a good way, the game went full retard and you're okay with it. Man, I really hope I'm not offending anybody by saying that. But it really opened it up, and I really like it. Just the fact that the games are so ridiculous, but you still give a crap about the characters. Like, I like Shondi. I like, I can't remember the name of the one girl now. It's going to drive me nuts. The girl that helps you. Fuck. That's going to drive me nuts.
I haven't
now.
Played the Saints Rows that
She's,
much. So.
Kinsey, yeah.
Kinsey?
Okay. And Vice President Keith David, that's all I'm going to say, the most amazing character in video game history.
The thing is would you almost, like, I would consider this to be a reality that because of Grand Theft Auto starting all this, you got games like Assassin's Creed and all these other open world games. They might not be crime ones, but I think they stemmed because of this idea.
Well, yeah, I think they really opened up player choice and exploration. We weren't content to just go from point A to point B anymore. We wanted to go from A to Q we wanted to. And I guess you could almost say games like Super Metroid and Symphony of the Night, more that Metroidvania style of shit where you could choose your own path, so to speak, was probably the precursor to this sort of thing. Someone's probably going to bitch at me for being wrong about this, but you know what? Bite my ass.
Well, you can't say you're wrong is the thing here, is because it could have had a hand in it some way, somehow.
Yeah, and like you see how these things have evolved, but yeah, I could totally see Assassin's Creed and Infamous getting things like this.
Now, would you consider, like, in your own opinion, Infamous and or Prototype, would they actually be classed as an open world crime game?
Well, you could almost say Infamous, because if Cole goes evil, he's a bad guy. So that's technically crime, where you kill people. Or if you play Cole good, you can save people. So that's debatable. Same with Prototype. If you want to be an asshole, be an asshole.
I won't lie, I've loved kind of dropping the power fists on random civilians and they just explode into blood.
I like using the tentacles and like whipping tanks and shit like that. Like,
or grabbing onto a helicopter and slamming it into the ground.
Yeah, like, see, yeah, like shit like that's really fun. And that's kind of disturbing when you really think about it.
Well, I guess that kind of gets me onto my next point here of, what do you, I guess we can kind of reminisce about the games. What makes them so fun and so popular?
I think for me, honestly, it was Grand Theft Auto Vice City that got me, because I love 80s crime movies. I love stuff like Heat. I love stuff like Dead Presidents.
So it's really the Scarface. Organized crime part
of
it then.
Yeah, like for me, Tommy Vercetti is the most charming of all the Grand Theft Auto protagonists. Claude, who was the guy in number 3, didn't say fucking anything.
Yeah.
CJ from San Andreas was a good guy, but I hated the game.
Yeah.
Nico Bellic,
I won't lie, Vice City is my favorite too, and I loved the character in that.
Yeah, and the fact that your lawyer is virtually like Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad.
I wonder if they cast the idea of Saul from Vice City.
It wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't surprise me at all. And my favorite moment of that game, the one that I can create the most clear in my head, is there's an alleyway right near the beach. Well, everything's right near the beach. And there's a ramp. Yeah. I took one of the, I can't remember what the bike's called, but it's basically a Ducati. It's like a crotch rocket.
Yeah.
And I just launched myself dodging through the, like, friggin' alleyways.
Those things.
Listening to I Ran So Far Away. Fast. Oh, I love it. But that's the thing, though. I love being able to just burn through the city and do whatever I want.
Well, speaking of burning through the city on one of those, yeah, don't hit a fucking foam pole. You go flying into a wall or into the water, which, was it that one that he hadn't learned how to swim yet?
Yeah, that wasn't until, I think, San Andreas.
Yeah.
Where I think he finally learned how to swim. Either that, or maybe that was Grand Theft Auto 4.
I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
But I just always found it funny that, like, you fall in the water in a game that is based in a city all around water.
Now, like,
but you get in a boat.
That's true. So. Now, I have to go to the bathroom, so you're going to entertain the people for about 30 seconds while I come back. I'm sorry, guys. I've really got to pee.
All right. Well, with that being said, talk about soundtracks. Oh. Well, the thing with Grand Theft Auto is a lot of the times the soundtracks are actually, like, when you get in a car, you basically have the radio at your disposal, so they actually try to get a lot of different classical 80s, 90s, current age music. Well, I guess not current age, because now it's, you know, 2013, so old current age, back when, for Vice City and all that, they try to get as much of the music of the time that, so you could flip through your radio station in the car and it would actually feel kind of real. Now with Grand Theft Auto 5 that's coming out here soon, I am fully expecting there to be a dubstep channel in your car, you know, all the current popular things, which with that, they're just full blown doing everything. There's going to be diving, all kinds of crazy stuff, which, oddly enough, I kind of hope that you can listen to music while you're diving. Anyway, Dodd is now back from the washroom.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And that is my little blurb about the audio for, well, basically I was saying the radios.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about Grand Theft Auto 3, it was all original music, I think.
See, I didn't get in the car too much Grand Theft Auto 3, and I didn't play the whole game. It's Vice City that I know they did a lot of the,
well, the
radio
fact,
was like
well, current
the
fact
age
that
music.
It had to be 80s music, otherwise that game wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
Because that, it sets the tone, especially when you open with, I think it's Broken Wings, Mr.
Yeah, well, was it?
Yeah, yeah, because like they got the guy hung up on the meat hook. It's like, take these broken wings, like that. sorry,
I wish
love
people could have seen that.
It was great. It really set the mood for that game. And even when you go in the clubs, when you go into the nightclub before you assault the one mansion, it's playing 80s music. It's playing like Flock of Seagulls or something.
Whereas some of the more current Grand Theft Autos and, well, Saints Row especially, they have a lot more, they get further on in music.
Well,
right,
it seems like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas had a good soundtrack. It had a great commercial where it was Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. And I remember that commercial so well because it played a lot when 24 was during its early seasons on Fox. It's like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, now available for PlayStation and Xbox. However, I thought the quality dropped off with Grand Theft Auto 4. Mm-hmm. There weren't a lot of stations I gave a shit about.
Yeah, I won't lie. When Grand Theft Auto 4 came out, I think I played it for like 5-10 minutes. And like, I didn't buy it myself. I was playing it at a friend's house, and I was just like, it's just not grabbing me like Vice City. So I was like,
it's got some cool missions and some cool ideas with it. Like, hell, you can go bowling with your cousin Roman, and you virtually have to. Why they get off the goddamn board? And you virtually have to keep relationships up, and at one point you have to choose who lives, Roman or your girlfriend or something, I think. I haven't beaten it. The DLC for that game was great.
Yeah.
With Lost in the Damned, Ballad of Gay Tony, which actually went to a developer's thing, probably about, I guess, when not... not too long after Ballad of Gay Tony came out, I broke the game. There's this part we have to...
at the conference.
Yeah, yeah. I walked into this room, and you're supposed to... you're in a meeting for, I guess it's Liberty City's hockey team.
Yeah.
And I'm in this conference room. There's all these bad guys. And I asked the developer, so all the weapons are unlocked, right? Yeah, grenade launcher. Boom, killed everybody. I blew myself out a window, and I couldn't activate my parachute. He's like, that's not supposed to happen. Can you, like, not tell anybody about that? I'm like, okay.
Too okay, late now, we won't. Well, we just did.
But I don't know. I had a lot of fun with that. Although this year, talking about licensed music, with Saints Row 4, great soundtrack. Not as extensive as what happened with the Grand Theft Auto games. I think Rockstar must have some licensing agreement with like a bunch of different music companies.
Well, Rockstar has gotten so big that they generally can license out a lot of stuff.
Well, that's
now
the thing, though. Like, they can sell their games on musical. I remember when Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out once again, there was a 7-CD box set for that.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of rare CDs from that, too. I got one. It's like a remix album done by Flock of Seagulls for I Ran So Far Away With, and it was music done and inspired by Grand Theft Auto. Saints Row 4, for example, has Stan Bush the Touch in it, though it's not the 1986 version. It's actually the 2007 or potentially 2009 version. It's the one that doesn't have the rap in it. That was the one done for Revenge of the Fallen, which people hated. I know too much about Stan Bush. He's a friend of mine. Anyway, but there's also other great 80s tunes in there that work. There's also a dubstep station in there. There's classical music. And that's another thing, too. Grand Theft Auto has a wonderful sense of humor on its radio stations from the skit-based DJs.
Yeah, I always love that, because, like, you'd just be cruising
and just
you would
to
actually
really
have,
commercials.
Like, yeah, you'd have commercials, you have a DJ talking, and it was like
Hernando Love.
And it was one of those things of, I swear, every time I got in the car, it was always something different.
One of the things I used to do when the prototype was with the Game Heroes, I would cut commercials out of some of the Grand Theft Auto chat stations.
Oh, yeah?
And put them between segments. One I had was, it was like a movie. It was like a movie trailer for something called Mother's Day or something. It was about some crazy paperboy, I think. Another one was petsovernight.com. I think
we may have to put one of these in this episode now.
I'll have to find them.
Do you still have them?
I might. I'll have to look. So no promises yet, guys.
If he still has them, you'll hear one.
Yeah, I'll put them at the end of the episode, like after the credits. But yeah, the writing has never been weak in those games. What's arguably, like I said, in my opinion, San Andreas, but I never beat it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get involved in it. It didn't grab me the way Vercetti did.
Well, see,
and Nico Bellic got interesting later on.
The thing with the Grand Theft Auto games over, like, say, Saints Row, in my opinion, from what I've heard, because I haven't really played Saints Row, but I hear a lot about them, and I've read every review, etc. I feel like Grand Theft Auto is a lot more, hey, there's actually a story, and they try to get you involved, whereas Saints Row is more...
Saints Row 1 and 2 tried.
Yeah.
I mean, when they killed off Johnny Gat's girlfriend, I think it was in 2, maybe... yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2. And then 3, where they supposedly killed off Johnny Gat. Spoilers. It's in the fucking trailer. And, you know, I think they realized around number 3, Volition, which was then THQ, mm-hmm. said, you know what, let's just have fun with it. I mean, come on, how many games can you say you beat somebody to death with a dildo?
Yeah.
Or I remember...
that's when they escalated.
Yeah, like, I went to see this at, once again, another developer's thing with Scotty, and we just hung out with the Grand Theft, or with the San... with
Saints Row?
Saints Row 3 guy for, like, an hour and a half, just screwing around with Professor Genki's super ethical reality climax. What a stupid name. What an awesome name. And we were running people over with this thing called the Manapult, which is this car which, if you're on somebody, it launches them like fucking football fields.
Awesome.
It's so weird, but it's so much fun.
It's one of those things that's wacky for the sense of wacky.
Yeah, and I think that's why people like these open world crime games. You can be all serious and be a gangster.
Or you go around just blasting random things.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason people got pissy with it, this is my opinion, the fact that you could have sex with hookers and then beat them up afterwards.
Well, that actually kind of brings me to a point here of, with the amount of popularity there was when they first started coming out, like, so San Andreas, Vice City, and Grand Theft Auto 3, when they first kind of came out and became so popular, there was just about as much bad media towards that game and video games in general because of it.
Well, yeah, because there was, in San Andreas, there was the hot coffee mod, which you can unlock on the Xbox and PS2 using, like, a Game Shark device or whatever. And then in Vice City, the original Grand Theft Auto, you could have sex in your car, your health would replenish, and then once they got out of the car, you could shoot them. And people got pissy about that, and I can see why.
Well,
but at the same time, and this is going to be my blanket statement for a lot of things, it's a fucking video game, relax.
Yeah, I mean, well, see, the thing is, it wasn't just about the sex. A lot of people were blaming the violence and the fact that you were able to do things in the game that you could potentially do in real life, so it would give children thoughts of doing it or some stupid shit.
Yeah, well, fucking Rambo came out like 1982 I know. Or 3, and they're like, you're not blaming Sylvester Stallone.
Well, it brings me to a meme that I saw on Facebook the other day where, because Grand Theft Auto 5 coming out, people are getting up in an uproar again, you know, there's the killing and the sex and the drugs and all these influential things. And the meme was basically saying, you know, I play sports games, but I don't play sports.
Yeah.
I play My Little Pony, but I'm not a pony.
I'm a pony.
You are a pony.
Although, there is one instance where I can think of where things have crossed over. Guitar Hero made me pick up a guitar.
Okay.
Battlefield is not going to make me want to join the military.
Battlefield has not made you join the military.
Yeah, no, but I don't want to
die.
Keep
going through, it went through a small list of games and saying, you know, very valid points of, you know, this game did not make me do this. And then it gets to the end and says, so why would Grand Theft Auto make me run around killing people and stealing
cars? So let me
ask
you this. If I play Dragon Ball Z enough, will I become a Super Saiyan?
I wish.
See, if that's the case, then let's fucking play nothing but that for the next, like, 9,000 days.
It's over 9,000?
Yes.
So 9,001 days, and
then
we'll become Saiyan.
It's just that people get so up in arms about that. And yes, I can see these games being a bad influence and blah, blah, bloody blah, blah, blah. But, guys, I think William Shatner said it best in the early 90s. He was on Saturday Night Live. He's like, hey, people, get a life. Like, seriously, people like Jack Thompson, like the guy who used to be all against video games and all the time. Seriously, shut the fuck up. Or people like that Pat Robertson guy. Seriously, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. And I guess open world crime games are the ones that get so connected to violence. I mean, there was a headline a couple of weeks ago where some 8-year-old shot his grandmother. And like, this game responsible is Grand Theft Auto. I think the question should be, how the fuck did he get a hold of a firearm?
Who gave him a firearm? Who loaded it? And who the fuck allowed him to, like...
Yeah.
It just blows my brain.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many instances of that where they immediately blame video games. And it's almost always, Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto. You know, or they blame something else stupid in the media. And I'm pretty sure I've said this on a Twig Talk show before. I would love for someone to go ape shit and blame something completely stupid, like Oprah made me do it. The Beatles made me do it. Not
really.
Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty. You know what? What made me do it? Furby. Tickle Me Elmo drove me to kill 27 people with a hatchet. It's shit like that. I mean, come on, guys. We're not this dumb. And that's the thing. There's such a generational gap. Like, with us and the people that are the lawmakers, etc. Like, there's not enough of us in power to make a real difference right now, or at least I think. Anonymous to an extent, but they're not making decisions.
On a brighter note, though, with, like, in the current age here, like, our current generation with YouTube and everything, gamers are actually starting to become more well-known as charitable. Because almost every gamer on YouTube that has a big channel has done something for charity. Even like us, we're going to be doing Extra Life Foundation. We do it every year, and we're going to be doing a big one this year.
Yep. As of right now, I've already raised $250, 13% of the way to my goal.
Well, shit, you're already ahead of me. But we're supposed to be on a team, so it's all good. We're doing it for kids, right?
Yes, you know, for kids.
But yeah, basically...
I think we should play nothing but excessively violent games on this day. I'm dead serious. We should play nothing but Grand Theft Auto. Any game that has pissed people off, we have to play. So, like, Mortal Kombat, etc. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
That's Mortal what Kombat. We're going to do.
Maybe.
Well, I think it would be funny. Like, yep, I'm playing games for kids. Yep, I'm a psychopath. Yeah. Oh, I just delivered money to a dying child. I'm an asshole. And it's
just, I'm going to end up killing lots of people after I save all these children.
Yeah, I know.
Like, fuck.
From the sinking battleship. It's just, it's so dumb that people give these games a hard time. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, Lost and the Damned has some pretty violent stuff in it. Same with Ballad of Gay Tony. But then you look at a game like Saints Row 4. It's so ridiculous.
Well,
you can't take it seriously anymore. Like,
Saints Row is one of those ones where it goes a little bit less on the violence, a little more on the
ridiculous.
Sexual and ridiculous. Like, there is a lot of sexual content.
Well, yeah, like, you raid a sex club in number 3.
See,
and that's how you get the penetrator.
But see,
I think,
going back to the whole people being angry about these games, there is a rating on them for a reason. And there's a very large fine, like when I worked at EB Games, it's a very large fine both to you and the company if you sell it to a minor. So basically parents come in and they buy these games for their kids and don't give a shit.
And then they get pissy at you.
They get pissy. They come back in and say, you sold me this game for my child. And it's like, no, you bought this game for your child.
Yeah, get it straight.
And if the child is there, we always would warn them. And I think I probably crushed more than 20 kids' hearts whenever they went, I want Saints Row 3 back when it came out. And the parent was like, okay, I'll get it for you. And I'm like, okay, flip it over. And I would just read the M rating there. It's what it says. So it'd be like extreme violence, drug use, explicit sexual content. And I just finished reading the list. And by the end of it, they'd look down at their child and say, there is no way in hell you're getting this game. And I'm like, you know, if you took the 5 seconds to flip that around and read it yourself...
Oh, yeah.
If I wasn't here, you wouldn't have known.
I remember just before you and I became friends, I walked into your EB. You were working behind the counter. And some woman was buying... Yeah, I think it was like Saints Row 3 or something stupid like that. And I said to the woman, her kid's like, oh, I want this. This kid is no older than 9 or 10. I promise you that. And they pick up, I think it was like Call of Duty Black Ops or I don't know, something really fucking violent. And I'm like, hey, lady, are you sure about that? She's like, what do you mean? May want to read the back of the package there. Oh, no, it's fine. He can handle it. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some kids could. I fully believe this.
Well, nowadays, a lot of kids are desensitized, but it's one of those things of...
Well, I think if
certain
you...
things.
I think if you explain it to them...
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was raised on movies like Friday the 13th, Halloween, and Scarface.
Me too.
And I turned out okay. That's a subjective term, but you get my point. You know, I think a kid today, if you say, all right, little Timmy, little Tina, you know this is bullshit. You know if you do these things in real life, you're going away to a very dark place. You're not getting out for a very long time. This is bad. This is evil.
Yeah.
Okay, why am I allowed to do it? Because you know what? It's okay to indulge in the fantasy. Because, you know...
Well, see, that's where it's kind of coming down to is that people are not teaching their kids anymore. They're handing them these games, and they don't go...
Or plop them
okay,
in front of the TV.
This is what's good, this is what's bad. They aren't doing that anymore. Whereas when we were young, it was like, okay, I did something bad, my parents found out, I'm afraid that they're going to murder me. My parents never touched me once, but I always had the fear of God in me.
Oh, my parents always used to say, I'll call the Children's Aid Society on you.
Wow.
Which is so stupid. Fuck you, Mom.
Well, see, nowadays, parents are scared of their kids... But see, it's funny, because if I ever have a kid, you know, in the future, and they were like, I'm going to call, you know, whatever aid society on you if you don't give me this toy, I'd be
like, really?
Go ahead, call them. Let's see if you ever get toys again.
Yeah.
Because where you're going to go, they're not going to give them to you.
But that's the thing, though. Kids have way too much power these days. It's ridiculous. Like, the balance of power
has shifted. Kids, people.
Well, I talked about this with Connell and Scotty on a toy talk show a couple of weeks ago. There's no sense of respect anymore, and... It's starting to show in the video game culture. People like us are becoming the older people. Like, I'm 32. You're what, 25 now?
Turning 24.
Yeah, turning 24. Jesus Christ, you're young.
But, I know people don't usually see
it. But you get my point, though. The fact that we're becoming the age that's going to have kids.
Yeah.
The people that have the kids now are probably in their 40s, late 30s. They were us at one point. They should know better.
Yeah.
Or the kids that had the kids in high school, like, for example, or, you know, the young parents now, I'm looking at you, teen moms, don't necessarily, like, there's a culture to video games, and I think us older people get it, but the people that are older than us don't get it. I mean, I can't think of anybody who's super well-respected outside of the old guys like Nolan Bushnell. Basically, the people who started, like, Atari and Activision and all that shit. They get the culture, I think. But nobody, there isn't an old guy like an Adam Sessler, once again, that I'm aware of, who can really speak well. And I think Sessler's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
And he speaks very, very, very well for us. There are some up-and-comers.
But even then, that's still not very old.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody making the... There's no nerds in the ESRB, as far as I know. Or there's nobody in the Activision boardroom that gets it. Or I'm pretty sure EA is made up nothing but a bunch of guys with twirly mustaches and monocles.
Oh, I thought maybe they were monkeys with twirly mustaches and monocles.
And they tie nothing but girls to railroad tracks.
Yes.
And, you know, like, these are the people that let these games come out, and that's cool. No game should be censored, in my opinion, because it is a work of art, depending on how you want to look at it. And you have, like, all... Just because you're offended by it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah, like, well, it's one of those things of... If you're offended by a video game, well, you have the choice not to play it.
Yeah.
And you have the choice to read the back and find out that it's going to be offensive. But, see, people never complain about, say, nude portraits, nude sculptures.
Oh, but that's different. That's tasteful. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly, but see, it's one of those things where they're like, that's artwork. I'm sorry, but I have worked on video game shit. It is hard work. It is fucking an art.
Now, there are certain games, I think, that could very well fall into the category, this is not art. And I'm talking about the Japanese rape simulators.
Okay, I can't defend them.
Yeah, there's nothing... I'll admit...
That is full-on fetish.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, there's a weird part of me that would like to see a let's play of one of these, only because I want to understand the mindset behind the development of it. Basically, someone, just imagine this, if you will, guys. Follow me down this very dark path. There is a boardroom somewhere.
I need a light. I need an adult. Oh, God.
There is a boardroom. There is a meeting. There were memos. So, we want to make a rape game. Someone took a Sharpie up to a whiteboard and decided the game's design. This was somebody... This paid someone's rent.
Well, I said I couldn't defend this, but I can defend one thing about it. There is a very, very different culture over there than over here.
Mm-hmm.
The way they might even see that is, if there's fetishes and things like that, if they make a video game for it, then at least people aren't doing it.
Yeah, and that's somewhat a valid defense.
There's a... The lesser of two evils here, basically.
And you can turn that argument around on us. For example, Grand Theft Auto allows us to go out and kill hookers or kill cops. It's an outlet.
Yeah.
We're not out there doing it. And it's always... Because I've heard people defend this thing both ways. And I don't know, it's just... It's one of those weird arguments where there is no right and wrong answer. Rape is obviously a very bad thing. It should never happen in video games or real life. But if you can do it virtually, and it prevents someone from getting hurt, I mean, what's, you know, like, you stop somebody. If you maybe saved a life.
Yeah, if it's going to cause people to not do it in the real world, then, I mean...
I'm sure there's worse things.
You can't say no to that if that was the case. Like, if somebody said, okay, we've designed this game, you may think we're perverts, but we've caused all these people that have this fetish to not go and... actually do it.
But
those people then be like, no, you're still wrong? Well, no.
But then again, once again, there was an argument that was made in Bowling for Columbine. And it was made by this Christian dude. And I'm not singling out Christians. This is just the part that I remember. He's like, does everybody who sees a Lexus commercial go out and buy a Lexus? No, but some will. And that's the argument. You could, like, for crime games, you could make that argument. All right, Grand Theft Auto showed me how to do it. Could I pull it off? And like I said, it's kind of it's one of those games and game genres that's a very slippery slope. Well, and I think Saints Row gets around that.
Because they're it's so ridiculous. Over the top ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's no way a street gang is going to become the president of the United States and say, we could cure world hunger or cure cancer. It's not going to come down, well, cancer had a good run. You know what? It's not going to come down to that. Yet with Grand Theft Auto, in the latest one, you look like bank robbers.
Yeah.
You know, some retard but might get the idea.
I have a defense against this, right? Like, yes, well, okay, there's no defense against the idea of, hey, somebody might actually do it because they've seen it, but I have a defense for video games of movies do it too.
Yeah.
TV shows do it.
Like Breaking Bad, for
Breaking
example.
Bad is pretty much shown that they haven't given the chemical formulas, but if you knew enough, you could easily fucking make meth.
Well, they said they leave out certain things so you can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's not to say you couldn't figure it out.
We have the internet.
Yeah, basically, that's it. You have the internet. You can figure this out.
But see, the media always blames video games. They never point at all these things because they're great shows. Because they see them as forms of art. Because, as you said, a lot of the people in the power are generally older and don't think of video games as the same kind of entertainment and artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get into, like, when our generation gets up there, everything could be entirely fucking different.
Yeah, like, shows like Breaking Bad exist in this moral gray area, and I think a lot of video games can too, like especially the Grand Theft Auto series. I don't think CJ, from what I played in San Andreas, was a bad guy. He's trying to avenge his brother's death, figure out what the hell happened. Nico Bellic is coming to America to get a new start, but something has forced his hand. So the good guys and bad guys in these games, they're very much... they're not black and white. They're very much shades of gray.
Yeah.
And you could open this up to other genres of games, too. Let's look at, say, Sam Fisher from the Splinter Cell series. He's basically Jack Bauer. He has license to do what he needs. He can exercise the fifth freedom, which is essentially the license to kill. You don't have to kill, but you can. There are torture scenes in some of these games. There was an interactive sequence that was cut out of Blacklist where you were torturing a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
And that people don't have a problem with. And I remember on television, people at one time were complaining against Jack Bauer because he's this extreme character. He's willing to torture to get information. Yet people look at Walter White and think, oh, that's cool. He's a meth dealer, but he's doing it for his family, so he must be okay.
Yeah. Yet there's always that gray area where people are like, oh, well, he seems like a nice guy, so we'll let him go away.
Yeah, like, I say give it time. Give it time. There will be a Breaking Bad game.
Probably.
I really believe it, and I think it'll probably be point and click. I don't think it'll be open world crime. And I hope Telltale gets it.
Yeah, really.
Because I think it would work. It'd probably be like Walter's final days or something.
Or even taking one of the sub-characters or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, like seeing what happens to Badger and Skinny Pete or something like that.
Yeah.
Like there are stories waiting to be told in those universes. Or maybe Agent Gomez or something, tracking down Fring's operation.
I'd say the nail is in the coffin now for why people are so damn angry. So.
Yeah, I mean, art imitates life, and I know they say crime rates are down, but we hear about them a lot more.
Yeah, well, that's just how media works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the way it is, which is unfortunate.
Well, I mean, it was funny. There was actually a building around here recently that, well, not around here. It was down in Waterloo area.
Yeah.
And the building burnt down and actually had a huge video game collection in it, and because it was like a flea market. But they
St. Jacobs?
Oh, I can't remember the name. But the pictures and the way the media skewed it was that the whole place just friggin' was liquefied. And we later found out because...
It's just the one building?
It was just part of the building. And we were like, oh God, thank you the games aren't destroyed because there was like... probably $1 million worth of old collectible games.
People's lives are destroyed, but I'm glad the Nintendo's okay.
Hey,
you've
it's
got
just
your
a
priorities
building.
Straight.
Nobody was hurt, as far as I know.
Yeah, but still, insurance. Lives are destroyed. Things need to be rebuilt. But I get your point.
Hey, it gives jobs for people. They gotta, you know, they gotta rebuild, and the other people get, you know.
Thank God the insurance guys are here.
Fuck insurance people. They're assholes.
But yeah, I mean, it's so weird. I think open world crime games, I think they're a very good thing. Because they're some of the most creative games out there. I mean, I was never bored with Saints Row 4. I have never been able to say that with any open world crime game.
See, I've only watched a little bit of the gameplay for Saints Row 4 from actually when Scotty was here playing. And so we should actually talk about that since it just released. So it's kind of the most recent that has been out. And then we'll go into maybe Grand Theft Auto 5 after,
because,
like, our thoughts.
Yeah, because it's two very different takes on the open world crime.
Very different.
Saints Row 4, you are virtually doing no crime. You're trying to defeat the Zinyak. Like, here, go do this, like, trash this thing by releasing a virus. Defeat so many of these guys. Hack this. Run across the city to do this. It's more like, you know what Saints Row 4 is? It's the best Matrix game you've never played.
Yeah.
Or it's the best Justice League game you've never played. Because you're virtually the Flash and Superman.
Yeah, well, because they added all these superpowers and stuff into this one, right?
Yeah, and you'd think it would make the game broken. It does, but it's fun. And
basically, it makes you OP for the sense of being OP.
Yeah, exactly. And it totally disregards that, oh, you need to steal cars. Yeah, you can still steal cars. But when you can run faster than a car, who needs to?
Yeah.
It's still fun doing it. Or there's points where you have to fly a helicopter, despite the fact that you may be retardedly more powerful than the helicopter.
Well, Scotty, he, I guess for costumes and stuff you can get, he was dressed up as Goku.
Yeah.
And he was running around power bombing random civilians.
I was dressed up in a George Washington head. In a saint's out in like a priest's outfit with fuzzy boots, I looked retarded, and I was like blowing things up with my mind or whipping people into the water. Whereas Grand Theft Auto 5, there's three distinct characters. There's, I forget their names for the life of me.
I won't lie, this is actually the first time in a while I've been excited for a Grand Theft Auto game because there's just so much stuff that they're adding in, like. From a standpoint of not the storyline, they're adding in, like, scuba diving, well, boating was already in one of them, but, like, basically, you can literally do anything that you wanted in the real world in the game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very realistic, so.
Well, I like the fact that it seems to take the storyline super serious. I mean, it reminds me of stuff like Heat, or it reminds me of all those great crime heist movies.
Well, like, from what I've heard, the style that they're doing, which games don't often do this, and when they do, they usually don't do well, but from all the early reviews, basically where they're trying not to give any spoilers, like IGN's got a bunch up right now where they've explained how they're doing this. They're telling the story from three different points of view,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like, hey, you play as the one character, then you play as another, like later on in a different arc or something. No, it's like one storyline where you swap between the three characters doing certain things within, because they're working together, right?
Yeah.
And from all the things I've been hearing about it, it's apparently very fluent and a very unique and amazing storyline.
Yeah.
For how they're telling it.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm really excited for, is to see how the storyline plays out in this game. And I haven't been excited for a Grand Theft Auto story since Vice City.
Which, also, think about what you just said there. You're excited for the story of a Grand Theft Auto. You're not excited just to pick it up to blow random shit up.
Yeah, no, so, I want to see what
happens. They've done good
marketing. Yeah, and that's the thing, though, like, because they released all these, like, character trailers or the stuff that like, you can do. And I'm willing to play this on the 360 as opposed to the Xbox One. I want this now.
Yeah,
I do not want to wait.
Well, did you see there was like trailer / commercials where essentially they had older people watching like a trailer and some gameplay, and or well, not the gameplay, it was more of the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they all thought it was real. They thought,
yeah.
They were like, this movie would be great.
Yeah.
And it was like, this isn't a movie, it's a video game. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Freaking out and all that.
And that's the thing. With open world sandbox games, you can do a lot with them in terms of storyline. You really can. I mean, you can be as ridiculous as the Saints Row games. You could tell an epic, century-spanning story with like things like Assassin's Creed. Or you can tell a much more personal, intimate story with Grand Theft Auto. And it's all in how you do it. Like, if you want to role play in Grand Theft Auto, you don't have to go ape shit and get the FBI after you and have tanks chase you down the street.
No, I've actually seen the odd friend that when they get in a car, they actually abide by the law.
Yeah, same
they
here.
They drive by the law. Whereas me, it's like I get in, I go right on the sidewalk, I go over, and then I start running people over because, well, I'm just having fun with it.
I mean, I personally follow the rules of the road unless I'm in a motorcycle, and I consider it a personal talent if I can weave down the sidewalk and dodge people.
Or if you're being chased by the cops for a mission.
Yeah,
for then you, like, fucking gun it.
Yeah, like, or I'll take my time, line up all my shots. Stuff like that. I like the role-play experience for certain other things. But, yeah, it's sometimes fun just to go nuts.
Well, yeah, every now and then, well, when I was playing a lot of the older Grand Theft Autos, which I'm still excited to do this in the new Grand Theft Auto when it comes out here, once again, September 17th?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm excited for the random times when you're just like, you know what, I've had enough of the story, I'm just going to stop for a sec and shoot everything in a, you know, city block radius.
Yeah.
Get the cops after you, get the FBI after you, get the army after you, whatever stages you're at.
Oh, yeah.
And then just fight until you die.
Yeah, it's fun to do that. I remember doing that in Saints Row 3.
It's like stress relief from something frustrating within the game.
From modern life, in fact. If you just, if, you know, so, there's a great line from a Quentin Tarantino movie, Jackie Brown, underappreciated, by the way, where one of the characters, Samuel L. Jackson, is talking about weapons. And he's talking about the AK-47. He says, the AK-47, when you absolutely, positively have to kill every motherfucker in the room, sometimes that's how you feel. You just have to kill every motherfucker around you. You want to beat a hooker with a wrench? Beat a hooker with a wrench. You want to kill a cop with a shotgun? Do that. But don't go outside your front door and do this. In fact, shake the cop's hand. Wave hello to the friendly hooker if that's what you so desire. But, you know, be a good person. Take out your rage in video games.
Hey, it's better than doing it in real life,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because then you don't want it to be in the media. Yeah. If you're going to do something bad, don't blame it on video games.
Exactly.
I won't say that.
Blame it on Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo.
No, fuck that. Say Lady Gaga made you do it. Or that asshole Robin Thicke. If I swear to God, Jimmy, if I hear that song Blurred Lines one more time, I'm going to walk. No, because then they'll say video games made me do it. We'll walk into large populated area with rocket launcher. There are two problems with this. One, me leaving the house. Are you kidding? And two, where am I going to get a rocket launcher?
Yeah, really? Like, fuck. I always love when they're like, oh, well, they're going to get rocket launchers and blow shit up. But where the hell is he going to get a rocket launcher?
Yeah, excuse me. I think you need permits for that. But this is America. You can get all your guns.
Permits? You need to be in the army for that.
Although, it's weird, though. Supposedly in the States, any of my States listeners tell me this, supposedly you could legally buy a 50 caliber sniper rifle?
Yeah, I think.
Why would you need a 50 caliber sniper rifle?
For taking down really big deer.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure the deer are wearing anti-tank armor.
Yeah, really.
But once again, I could very well
You
be
have
wrong.
To hit them through five trees.
hit them through five trees and through at least one or two engine blocks. But yeah, I mean, that's an entirely different debate for a different day. I'm sure we're going to get letters. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I'm not taking voicemails on this one. Fuck that. So,
very
yeah.
angry people.
So I guess next time we'll talk about MMOs.
Yeah, we'll do kind of like, what the fuck are MMOs? What are they about? Why are they popular? What ones are out? Which ones have been successful? Wow.
Yeah, and like, what's changing with them? Because now there's a huge free-to-play
model. They're drastically changing. There's a lot of different game mechanics and stuff that I could go on and on about, which I will in that episode.
So yeah, it'll be fun. So anyway, for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I have been Jamie J.J. Johnson, and Lady Gaga made me do it.
like a terminal darkness, indeterminate blackness. Beam of night, we're your low-tech nightmare. A pixelated shocker, put your iPod away. It's the 8-bit jaw dropper. Pipe and fucking smoke it, you cunts!